The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. Unfortunately, history is an endangered species. If you live in a red state like I do, you have lawmakers literally trying to erase history in favor of blatant lies and attempt to brainwash our youth. Young people today are at a high risk of not knowing the truth that this country was built on the backs of enslaved Africans and the robbery of land and the genocide of indigenous people. That's why it's more important than ever to get the truth out in any way possible, including fictional stories set against the backdrop of non-fictional times. My guests today are Shauna J. Edwards and Allison Richmond, authors of The Thread Collectors, a fictional story set against the backdrop of the very real Civil War. And while their book is fiction, the hard truths and facts about the Civil War are very real, and they cannot be argued or erased. Funny thing about the truth. Let's get it started. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Pull up, Giddy. Live.
Yeah, what's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 86 now of the Dolo White Podcast. My guests today, Allison Richmond and Shauna Edwards. You guys wrote the new book, The Thread Collectors. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you for having us.
We're thrilled.
Give us a brief synopsis of the book, because I know it takes place in the Civil War. It has to do with two women, one white, one black, one in the North, one in the South. You guys go a little more beyond than that.
Well, maybe I'll start, Dolo White. So the book opens, and it opens on our black heroine, Stella, who's named after my mother, and she's living in New Orleans, where I'm originally from. She is held in bondage by a white man, but she's in love with a brilliant black musician named Willie, and she's trying to figure out her life, right? Willie decides that he's going to go and flee slavery and go and fight for the Union Army. And when he gets to the Union Army camp, that's when the lives of our black couple and our white Jewish couple intertwined, because there at the camp, he meets another brilliant musician who is a German Jewish immigrant, Jacob, and they have an unexpected friendship. So what was interesting for us is we see a lot of books where the women's friendship is centered, and we certainly have female friendship, but we thought it would be interesting to explore a friendship between men first and how that impacts their beloveds. Jacob has left behind in New York City his wife, Lily. She is a fiery abolitionist. So that is how the two couples come together.
How much research did you guys have to do to go back in time? And how realistic do you feel like you made the history part of this book?
Well, we knew right from the start, as you know, when we were going to embark on this journey of writing the story together, that, you know, sticking to the historical facts was extremely important to us. We were not going to massage things just to move the plot along. And I think both of us wanted to make sure we illuminated periods of history or episodes in history that the average reader wasn't familiar about, that didn't find their way into the average student's history books. So, for example, while we were collecting information and doing as much reading as possible, we learned that in Manhattan on between 42nd and 43rd and Fifth Avenue, there was the colored children's asylum, which during the draft riots, a mob of angry white men tried to burn down the orphanage with 233 black children inside. Okay. Many of these children were orphaned because their fathers had joined the war effort, the Union Army, black men trying to fight for freedom. And here in New York, this incredibly violent act of, racial violence happened, but I never heard of it. I was brought up to believe that in New York, we were the good guys and we were fighting against slavery, but that did not happen all the time. So we wanted to sort of make sure that episodes like that, or the Battle of Port Hudson, which Shauna can talk about, where the first black troops were given muskets to fight, but weren't given the support they needed actually to survive that battle. They were basically cannon fodder. So those things were very important to us, to go to dark places and to show them, but also show the light that happened in these, episodes of also deep friendship, of love transcending even, you know, the rules of slavery where, you know, Black people weren't even supposed to be able to choose the person that they loved, that somehow love still transcended that. Still, unexpected friendship happened on the battlefield. So we have Jacob, a Jewish musician, and William, our Black musician, finding the language of music actually inspires friendship between them. So there's a lot of history, but there is also a lot of hope and, you know, a lot of light within the darkness.
It sounds like this book, I'm in the state of Tennessee, it sounds like this book would be banned here from kids being able to read it, unfortunately. We don't like the truth here, apparently. But were those two things, the two instances that you just mentioned, would you say those were the most surprising things that you found out doing research, or was there something else that was like even a bigger shock that you couldn't believe that this happened and you never learned about it?
Well, so for me, what I found interesting was while there is a real centering of the Black experience in this novel, there's also the marginalized voice of Jewish people. I grew up in a place in New Orleans where there is a vibrant Jewish community. In fact, the high school that I went to, Isidore Newman School, was started as a Jewish orphanage, but I still don't think I ever thought about what other marginalized people felt like in the Civil War, and that there was anti-Semitism just the same way as there was racism. There was a period of time in the Union Army where the federal government kicked out all of the Jewish soldiers because they thought that Jewish merchants were cheating the federal government by selling them substandard goods. I had never learned about this. And to know that even in the midst, and we, as Allison just indicated, we're not saying that the Union Army was all great. I knew about the discrimination that Black soldiers faced. I had not really given any thought to the discrimination that other members of outgroups faced. And for me, that was an eye-opening too. So we had this constant learning and sharing process where we were uncovering things, dark things, as Allison noted, but then trying to weave them together to share them with people and then also to think about the light.
We're writing a book like this, and you have to do so much background research like you guys did. How long does that take? Or did you just get into it and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this? And you're just kind of like hooked and, you know, like you binge read about the Civil War, basically. Is that, or did it just take a long time?
That's a great question. I mean, I think there's so many positive things that came out of writing this book together. And, you know, this is my eighth novel and I do almost exclusively historical fiction. It can sometimes take me an over a year of research before I write a single sentence of a book. And I always like to describe the process of writing historical fiction that I do all this research until I feel the research is almost sewn into my skin so that when I sit down at the computer, I don't have to keep checking everything, that it's sort of, you know, within my soul and I can start writing. And I, of course, have to fact check every now and then, or do a jaunt to the library to learn something new in the process of the book unfolding. But the majority of the research is done in advance. With Shauna, we knew right away there were certain things that we needed to learn before we started writing the novel. It was during the middle of the pandemic. Shauna's from New Orleans. Her family is still there. And so she really was the person who went down south and went and worked with the New Orleans Historical Society. And she was granted access to read Civil War letters and read them and hold them in her hand and get a sense of the voice of what a soldier might have been writing to one of his family members at that time. She also journeyed to Port Hudson with her then fiancé, who she's now married over the course of the year.
Congratulations.
And to learn about that particular battle that we wanted to highlight. At the same time, I was back home in New York researching, for example, through the New York Historical Society about that orphanage and the fact that, you know, there's still a remaining Bible in the New York Historical Society. That's the only remaining artifact from when that children's orphanage was burned to the ground. So we were constantly in conversation of what we were discovering, what was going to be important for putting in the book, but also at the same time talking about who our characters were going to be. So I'm going to hand the torch over to Shauna, because I think she has a lot of information of how we came to create who, you know, our female heroines are in the novel.
So Stella, for me, I had to make her great because she's named after my mother. And the last thing you want to do is create a weak character and then name her after your mother. But either the other Black women in the novel, Janie, Stella's mother, and Amine, who is Stella's half-sister, those are all family names for me. And so they were inspired by stories I had heard, and in particular of one of my mom's female ancestors, also named Janie, who had managed to achieve financial security, became a landowner, and even became a lender within her family. So it wasn't just the research, the important research that Allison talked about with me going to stand on battlefields and reading and all of that that was important. It was also the research in my own family. And I think sometimes that can be the hardest research. A lot of communities who have had struggles, who have had trauma, one thing we don't do is we don't share our stories, right? I had to sit down with my mother, with my Stella, and say, tell me more about Janie. She was born in a town in Louisiana, Hoston, Louisiana, which is a cotton town. And they, when she was quite young, moved to Houston, Texas. One of the reasons that they moved to Houston, Texas is because her uncle had been shot dead in this kind of like extrajudicial killing on a railroad, something that I didn't know. There are things that I started to pull out of my history because I was doing the research. And I think that history and that research was just as important and in many ways harder than the history about the historical facts that you can find online. I mean, we can all sit up at night and Google, and I'm a lawyer by training, so you know I could stay up all night and read a book. But asking the harder questions of your family members and bringing that to bear, that's history too.
How did you guys decide to write this book, and how was it writing with somebody else? And I how did this happen?
Well, I think, you know, it's, we've been, you know, discussing, the book just came out yesterday, and a lot of people have asked us, like, how did you even come together in the first place? And we just laugh because we came together in the most unlikely of places, Las Vegas. I was attending a corporate lawyer reception with my husband, who's an attorney. As Shauna mentioned, she's originally a corporate attorney by trade. And I was standing online at the reception and daydreaming. I'm always daydreaming, thinking about another book. And all these men were cutting in front of me to get a drink. And Shauna must have seen me from across the crowded room and came storming over and was like, why are you letting every single man come in front of you? And I love your dress, by the way. And, you know, that's just so the essence of our friendship too, because, you know, she's very, in the best possible way, she has a lot of strength. So if someone is trying to take advantage of us, she's going to, like, you know, make sure that that doesn't happen. But we also love dresses. We're always discussing, like, what are we going to wear to a, you know, an event, and having a lot of fun with that. But when Shauna realized that I was not an attorney and asked what I was, and I said, well, I'm actually a historical novelist, her eyes completely popped open. And she was like, so excited to find a lawyer among this, you know, a writer among the seas of attorneys. And she confided into me that she had been a English literature major at Harvard, that she had always dreamt of writing a book of her own, but had gotten, you know, more, you know, sidetracked towards doing something probably far more lucrative in the sense of, you know, becoming a lawyer. But our friendship from that moment on always sort of was rooted in our love of books. And so, you know, we've been friends for over, you know, 13 years, I think, at this point. Every time we would meet, she'd say, well, what are you working on? She was always curious. You know, she'd have me visit her book club. She'd ask for book recommendations. When I was six, she would send me books that she had just read and she thought I would enjoy. And so in 2017, I said to her, I had just seen a really fascinating documentary on PBS called Death in the Civil War. It was by Ken Burns' younger brother, Rick Burns. And it was a really fascinating documentary. I learned so many things that I wasn't aware of. One that, you know, 180,000 Black men fought in the Civil War. They risked, you know, their lives to escape from slavery, to try and, you know, enlist and fight for freedom. And when they got to enlist, they were not treated the same way that white soldiers were treated. They were not given muskets. They were given pickaxes and hoes, forced to do manual labor to support the white troops. And in many cases, they were forced to bury the white soldiers, you know, to dig these trenches to bury them. So that was something that I wasn't aware of. And then on top of that, in the documentary, it spotlighted that sometimes during these moments where bodies were having to be buried very quickly so that they could go on to the next battle, that sometimes soldiers created maps to document where they had left their fallen compatriots. And I had this sort of flash of an idea when I was watching the documentary that it would be really interesting to have a friendship between a Black soldier and a white soldier, you know, against the backdrop of the Civil War. And the the black soldier creates a map of where his fallen white friend has fallen in the hope that somehow he can get that map to the widow of that soldier so that she can bring the body back home. So I said that to Shauna. I was like, it's just sort of this, you know, idea I have. And I'm going to let Shauna say what then she said when she heard the idea.
So I immediately said, because Dolewhite, one thing I always think is if you're going to introduce a black character, it can't just be to move the plot along, right? They have to have their own story as well. So I said, what if he took that map, something that is by nature likely to fall apart in battle, and gave it to his beloved, and she sewed something, she made something permanent out of it, because thread and quilting has been something that I'm familiar with from my background. I know how important it is to the African-American community. And also, you have to remember, at the time, it's unlikely that our black hero would have been able to read and write. So how is he going to transmit that information and keep that information? And can his beloved play an important part? And then all of a sudden, we took what was going to be a friendship between two men, two brilliant musicians on the battlefield, and we opened it up to thinking about a love story. And we opened it up to thinking about the intertwining of two families. But that was in 2017. And that was over drinks, as the best ideas often come. We didn't start really writing it in earnest until 2020. You know, Allison likes to say that as a novelist, there's got to be something in the air. Everything has to come together appropriately in order to make it the right time to write the novel. I think as we all grappled with seeing racialized violence, like we're aware that it happens, but seeing the murder of George Floyd, I was working full-time in diversity, equity, and inclusion at that time. So every day I'm on the front lines thinking about justice within the walls of an organization. And she calls me on the phone and she says, I think now is the right time to write this book. And I joke a little bit, but I'm serious. I'm like, so it's 2020. And even though she asked in the most beautiful, productive way, I'm sitting there as a black woman and my white girlfriend just called me and said, do you want to write a book about race? And I'm like, let me call you back. And so I had to think about it because I didn't know. I was already doing the emotional labor during the day. I didn't know if I had the amount of energy and space in my heart and in my mind that it would take to do the research and write at the level that I know Allison does and that she would expect. But after talking about it with people that I know and I trust, and also talking with Allison about how honest we could be with each other, I took the leap of faith and realized that it was actually a really good way for me to channel what I was feeling and create something purposeful. You know, we like to refer to this as our legacy project, as opposed to sitting just in the darkness and feeling like there's not anything I can do. It turned out to be, for me, a project of great healing.
Good. I love that. Real quick, before I let you guys out of here, I know you got to jump. Shauna, you're from New Orleans. I'm going to guess that you're a Saints fan.
Go Saints, baby.
I grew up in Atlanta. I'm a Falcons fan, so I'm going to say this. The Saints are trash.
September 11th, we come in for you. We're going to clip those wings.
We'll see about that. But probably are. We're going to be trash this year. But the Saints, as an organization, historically, way more trash than the Falcons. I love my Atlanta Falcons. I had to throw that out there. I just could, my Atlanta-ness would not let that happen.
All right.
Thank you guys so much for doing this. I would love to pick your brains all day. The Thread Collector's out right now. Shauna Edwards, Allison Richmond, thank you guys.
Thank you.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even a 100-foot screen, plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other, Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. I want to say thank you once again to my guests Shauna J. Edwards and Allison Richmond. Make sure you check out their book, The Thread Collectors. It's out right now. Check that out, all right? Brand new episode drops first thing next Wednesday morning. My guest will be Patricia Schultz, the author of Why We Travel. Get to have a travel episode. You know I love talking travel, so that's going to be a fun episode next week. Make sure you follow me on all platforms, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, everything. at DolaWhite101, D-O-L-E-W-I-T-E 101. And no matter what platform you are listening to this podcast from, please make sure you rate and review and subscribe and follow. Definitely appreciate any love you can. Also, share it as well. Sharing is caring. That's my time. Back next week with a brand new episode. I'm done. I'm out. I'm gone. Bye.